Well, it's been some time since I've given a sermon. Last time would have been in 2004 for another church on the other side of the canal. I was very prideful and arrogant at that time. The Holy Spirit rebuked me, and that was my call not to play church, but to actually experience. And so from time to time, you can be corrected, and it's taken some time for me to get the courage up to come forward and go ahead and speak again. But this time, it's not, you know, something that I'm trying to be proud and show off and what have you. As you can probably tell, it's not what I would normally be able to do. But I have been getting, in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, different words that I have to write down in a notebook. And so I had many pages of notes that have come together into one or maybe two sermons kind of combined into one. So I entitled it, Who Do You Think You Are? It's a Time to Worship. Do we feel that sometimes we're the only one? Prideful, arrogant, hateful, judgmental. Yes, that's guilty of that. I have to admit that. Do we focus on our own desires rather than what God wants us to do? Yes, that's part of the thing. So a lot of things have come to me and been given to me along this line, and so I've kind of combined that together. I'll be reading from the Good News Bible, Contemporary English, New American Standard, and NIV, so I just combined it into the text here. A lot of the times, try and get the context to get the expression that the words that you want and what the Spirit is pushing on you. One version doesn't always have exactly, I think, the emphasis that was given. So bear with me as it kind of the language may change. In Galatians 5, starting in verse 13, As for you, my friends, you were called to be free, but do not let freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, let love move and serve one another. For the whole law is summed up with one commandment, love your neighbors as you love yourself. But if you act like wild animals, hurting and harming each other, then watch out, or you will completely destroy one another. What I say is this, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desire of the human nature. For what the human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is what is opposed to what the human nature wants. These two are enemies. And this means you cannot do what you want to do. If the Spirit leads you, then you are not subject to the law. What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immorality, filthy and indecent actions, in worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight. They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They're envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do things like these. I warn you, now that I have it before, those that do these things will not possess the kingdom of God, but the Spirit produces joy, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. And those that belong to Christ Jesus have put to death their human nature and its passions and desire. The Spirit has given us life. We must let Him control our lives. We must not be proud or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. He must control our lives. That's something that's, I like to be in the driver's seat, and a lot of times have to be put back in my place and let Christ lead where things go. Out there's a lot of vices, drugs, sex, booze, money, they all have their appeal, but God wants us to focus on Him. He must control our lives. Hate is everywhere. There's religious wars. You can watch the news. It's everywhere around us. You don't even have to watch the news. You can find it in a lot of places. Conflict is everywhere. There's physical, mental, and spiritual battles everywhere. A lot of social engineering going on out there, pitting people against people. It's very common now. Some people know how to push your buttons. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and eventually you just fight back. And unfortunately, I fight back with anger a lot of times, and that's not the way it should be, but I'm working on it. How easy to tell someone about something but not think about what's really going on? Is this information from God or from the enemy? Pure worship is what we should desire, having a relationship with God versus having religion. The do's and the don'ts, the selective rules, the arguments on trivial things. Is it the 1881 or the 1885 version of the Bible that we should have here? I've seen that in a lot of churches. They get stuck on one little point, and they just drive it in. There's top 10 lists of things that you must follow. You got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this. And they can ignore a lot of things that are just too hard because that's easier just to follow this list. We all get distracted from real worship. Let's focus on the real thing. Aren't implosions fun to watch? Get to see them set up all this dynamite around a building. Then they push the plunger. They knock down a 100-year-old building in seconds. Oh, the power. If you're Tim Allen. Very little work to execute the destruction. Lots of fun to watch, and they gather large crowds and watch it on TV, even a lot of people there. Detroit had several implosions a few years back, and it was a very popular thing. This news crew would set up, and they'd have these buildings come down. Building a new building takes many years, and actually it's quite boring by comparison. From concept to completion, it can take years. Hundreds of man hours and meetings, and thousands in the actual construction. The early concepts come and go. Then you go to the design development, the construction drawings, and then the changes as it's being built come along. But the project is something that will last for decades. It's a lot of work over a long period of time. Building up versus tearing down. Building takes a long time. It's not very fun. It can be boring at times, but you got to stay with it to get there. Destruction is easy. It's fast, and sometimes it can be fun, but maybe not in our best interest. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning in verse 1, probably one of the most well-known, even to non-Christians and people that don't read the Bible. Everything on earth has its own time and season. There's a time for birth and death, planting and reaping, killing and healing, destroying and building, for crying and laughing, weeping and dancing, for throwing stones and gathering stones, embracing and partying. Now there's a time for finding and loosing, keeping and giving, for tearing and sowing, listening and speaking. There's a time for love and hate, for war and peace. What do we gain by all our hard work? I've seen that what difficult things God demands of us. God makes everything happen in His time, yet nothing can ever fully understand all He has done. And He puts into question in our minds about the past and future. I know the best things we can do is enjoy life, because God's gift to us is happiness. We get it from the food and drink and from work we do. Everything God has done will last forever. Nothing He does can ever be changed. God has done all things so that we may worship Him. Very popular song and been redone many times over the years. But how do we spend our time? Is it how God wants us to spend it? Time is money. Hear it all the time. And if you've talked to a lawyer, you know it's billed by the hour. Accountants, technicians, engineers, contractors. Time is definitely money. Time is clock-based. You have a countdown to quitting time. Maybe happy hour's coming up. Oh, there's some big event coming on. It's got to watch the clock. It's coming up soon. Time can be slow. Waiting for that final class to hurry up and finish up. The end of the day. A birthday. Some big wedding overseas. How about time to worship? Sometimes people are real excited and looking forward to it. Other times, when is this going to end? I wonder what's on the menu. Can I get a good seat? Time is very important to man. But what is time? It's our attempt to measure something abstract. The revolutions of the Earth's orbit around the sun is a year. Revolution of the moon around the Earth is about a month. The revolution of the Earth about its axis is a day. Days, hours, minutes, seconds. We keep breaking it down smaller and smaller. We have calendars. We have clocks. We can measure time on a sundial, create time zones, make a uniform time across a large area, and we can even mess with it for part of the year. Spend millions of dollars changing our computers and all the machines to compensate for the sun angle, only to change it back a few months later. But I digress. More precision can also show issues. The National Bureau of Standards has introduced leap seconds many times into the official time. The Earth doesn't orbit exactly smoothly. It varies. And so every year they have to make corrections to the national time. The recent earthquake in Japan caused a shift of the Earth's rotation, I hear. So they're going to have to make some corrections for that at the end of the year. WMPL, WKMJ charges us for commercial airtime. For a few bucks, they allow us to put our message over the stations. Years ago, it used to be called a dollar a holler. It's not that cheap anymore, but TV stations want tens, hundreds, or even thousands of dollars per holler. And networks during the big game, thousands or even millions. So time is definitely money. We measure radio frequencies as vibration over time. A hertz is a cycle per second. A kilohertz is 1,000. Megahertz, gigahertz, it goes up. AM radio is about 1 megahertz. FM's 100. The licensed radios on the roof of this building that we have are 82.5 gigahertz. How fast is your computer? Represent it in speed in gigahertz now. My first computer was only 1 megahertz. My latest is a dual 3 gigahertz. Faster computers means you get more work done. Waste more time. Phone companies found ways to slice time and use the spectrum more efficiently. They use time division multiplexing. A phone call, digitized, is a DS0 at 64 kilobits per second. Take 24 of those, you get a DS1, 1.5 megabits per second. You take 28 of those, and you make a DS3, that's 45 megabits per second. Take three of those, put them together, and you get an OC3 on an optical carrier, 155 megabits per second. The fastest that we've seen around here is an OC192 or 10 gigabits per second. So time is something that can carry a lot of information in a very small amount of space, depending on how you slice and dice it. My career has always revolved around time. I could probably give hour-long lectures of just getting into multiplexing, but I won't. I'll spare you. We need time to keep things accurately working. Different pieces of equipment rely on time. At the ISP, we could purchase it from the phone company. We could obtain it from the GPS satellites. We could use crystal oscillators, or we could use atomic clocks. The phone company ISP I worked for downstate, we got time from the phone company. We used Stratum 3 crystal oscillators, and we used atomic clocks. So we got very accurate time, and that was to keep everything in sync, because if anything slips a little bit and they're not in sync, they fall off and they have errors, and you don't want to have that. Consumers benefit from accurate times. Weather station hanging on my house gets a 10 megahertz signal from radio station WWV in Fort Collins, Colorado. It's where the official atomic clock and radio signals are synced. The other one's in Honolulu, Hawaii, so we have two official times in the U.S. And Japan lost its official time for half the country because of the evacuation. It was located near the atomic reactor, so the people couldn't operate the radio station, so they had to evacuate it. So all those machines that depended upon an accurate time there had to shift to local oscillators or hopefully pick up another time source on the other side of the country, which may or may not have been reliable for them. TV stations have benefited from changes in technology with doing more in less space, which means less time. They migrated from the 1940s AM video to the 1990s digital video recently. Everybody's all concerned about this digital conversion. It was overhyped, but that's my opinion. Using the same 6 megahertz of spectrum, you can now carry 19 megabits of data. That's pretty good. Cable companies can carry 38 megabits of data in the same spectrum because there's not as much noise. At work, we have 2 high def or 6 standard def channels in that one channel that was allocated for one analog TV station before. So you can squeeze a lot more data. So what you're doing is you're getting more in less so that you can sell more services. So time, again, is money. The spacecrafts orbiting the Earth over the equator can carry hundreds of video channels each, and they're spaced every 2 degrees. So every part of the world is now covered with thousands of signals. That's a powerful tool. We can use it to spread propaganda, or we can use it to spread the word. And I can pick up a dozen or so real Christian channels just by pointing at a couple of spacecraft. Very interesting. We even use time-based things here. That little digital recorder sitting on the desk recording this file samples at 44.1 kilohertz and samples a digital file that gets converted over to a compressed file put up on the web as a podcast. It's available in our iTunes store or on the website, or it's put on a CD at the table, and everybody's welcome to stop by and pick them up. So we're using time. But the most important thing is we don't want to waste our time. It's limited. We hate to admit it, but we aren't in control of it. And how we spend our time is very important. Crystals are powerful. They're everywhere. They're very useful tools. But people actually can worship them. I can say that everybody has several crystals in their possession. If you have a watch, a TV, a microwave oven, a computer, a radio transmitter, a pager, cell phone, you have crystals in them. That's what's controlling it. Crystals, quartz crystal is a very powerful creation. It's a chemical and geological properties, very interesting to read. My wife has a CRC handbook that has all kinds of details. It can tell you everything about the atomic structure of it, most of which I don't understand. But they vibrate, and they can be used to tune radios, control spacecraft, run computers, count time. But they have flaws. They're not perfect. And we rate them on their accuracy, and they do drift over time. So they're not, what's happening now may not be happening in 2 years from now with that. And they need to be corrected. The equipment we use for scientific instrumentation has to be certified. The radiation leak detectors we have over at work for the cable system have to be certified every now and then to make sure that they're still accurate, so that when we file our reports, they're accurate. We break down atoms, and that's even more powerful than a little vibrating rock. Atomic clocks are very accurate. We count a predictable delay of the atomic particles. We use them for smoke detectors. If the clock is blocked, the signal doesn't get through, it sets off an alarm. But atoms are even more powerful. They're harnessed for other things. Energy. Get cheap nuclear energy. Or bombs. And they can be very dangerous when they're out of control. Three Mile Island a few years ago. Chernobyl. Now Japan. Something went terribly wrong. And they aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Do we worship the power of the created or the creator of the power? So do we worship the power of the created or the creator of the power? Choose you this day who you will serve. In Luke 16, verse 13, it says, "No servant can be a slave to two masters. Such a slave will hate one and love the other, or will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Money is needed, but money worship is wrong. I'm sorry, but the million-dollar gospel is not in my Bible. I've looked. I don't see it in there. Yet you hear it all the time. I see 1,000 people giving me $1,000. It's on TV all the time, and many people are doing it. Now, there's many noble people out there, don't get me wrong, and money is needed. But there's some that are more concerned about their luxury car, their mansions, the drugs, the excess living. These things are not proper. The records of this church are open for inspection. It's in that little maroon folder. We try to keep it updated once a month. I'll put a new sheet in there or something to keep it. Let me know if it's not up to date. I'll try to remember to bring it in. And we want to use the gifts wisely and be good stewards of what's been given to us. The bills get paid, and God provides for his family. Many people worship other people. How about all those celebrities in Hollywood right now? The political figures, the religious leaders. One sports commentator read an interesting story on the radio the other day. The millionaires are still arguing with the billionaires, so football may be delayed this year. Lots of hero worship there going on. How are we living for God? And do we worship him? Are we living a holy lifestyle? 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 5. "And now you are living stones that are being used to build a spiritual house. You are a group of holy priests, and with the help of Jesus Christ, will offer sacrifice that please God. It is just as God says in the scriptures, 'Look, I am placing in Zion a choice and precious cornerstone. No one who has faith in that will be disappointed.' You are followers of the Lord, and the stone is precious in you, but it isn't precious to those who refuse to follow him. They are the builders tossed aside the stone that turned out to be the most important of them all. They disobeyed the message and stumbled and fell over the stone because they were doomed. But you are God's chosen and special people. You are a group of royal priests and a holy nation. God has brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now you may tell of the wonders and the things that have been done. The scriptures say, 'Once you were nobody, now you are God's people. At one time, no one had pity on you, and God had treated you with kindness. Dear friends, you are foreigners and strangers on this earth, so I beg you not to surrender to your desires and fight against you. Always let others see you behaving properly, even though they may still accuse you of doing wrong. On the day of judgment, they will honor God by telling the good things they saw you do. The Lord wants you to obey all human authorities, especially the emperor who rules over everyone. You must also be generous because they are being, you must also obey governors because they are sent by the emperor to punish criminals and praise good citizens. God wants you to silence stupid and ignorant people by doing right. You are free, but you are God's servants, and you must not use your freedom as an excuse for doing wrong. Respect everyone that shows love for God's people. Honor God and respect the emperor." And in Acts 2, beginning in verse 16, by this is what God had the prophet Joel say. When the last days come, I will give my spirit to everyone. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. In those days, I will give my spirit to my servants, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will work miracles in the skies above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood and fire and clouds and smoke. The sun will turn dark and the moon will be as red as blood before the day or the great and wonderful day of the Lord appears. Then the Lord will save everyone who asks for his help. Now listen to what I have said about Jesus of Nazareth. God proved that he sent Jesus to you by having him work miracles, wonders, and signs. All of you know this. God had already planned and decided that Jesus would be handed over to you, so you took him and had evil men put him to death on a cross. But God set him free and death and raised him to life. Death could not hold its power. Now David said, what David said were really the words of Jesus. I always see the Lord near me, and I am not afraid with him at my right side, because it is my heart will be glad. My words will be joyful, and I will live in hope. The Lord will not leave me in the grave. I am his Holy One and won't let his body decay. He has shown me the path to life and makes me glad for being near me. My friends, it is right for you to speak about our ancestor David. He died and was buried, and the tomb is still there. But David the prophet, and he knew God, had made the promise that he would not break. He had told David that someone from his own family would someday be king. David knew this would happen, and so he told that Christ would be raised to life. He said that God would not leave him in the grave and the body decay. All of us can tell you that God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus was taken to sit at the right hand of God, and he was given the Holy Spirit, just as the Father had promised. Jesus is also the one who gives us the Spirit. And that is what you are seeing and hearing. David didn't go up to heaven, so he wasn't talking about himself. When he said, the Lord told me, the Lord sits on my right hand, until he made my Lord my enemies for his footstool. Everyone in Israel should know that for certain, God had made Jesus both Lord and Christ, even though you put him to death on a cross. When the people heard this, they were upset. They asked Peter and the other apostles, friends, what should we do? Peter said, turn back to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and your sins will be forgiven. Then you will be given the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, and for everyone the Lord will choose, no matter where they live. Peter told them many other things, and they said, I beg you, save yourselves from what happened to all these evil people. On that day, about 3,000 believed his message and were baptized. They spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like a family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together. Everyone was amazed by the miracles and wonders the apostles worked. And that quote from Joel is in 2:28. Later, I will give my spirit to everyone. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will give my spirit to my servants, both men and women. I will work wonders in the skies above and in the earth below. I don't know if I've had the dreams or the visions, but there's been a few things in the past few years that have definitely come true that weren't from me. Romans 12, 1. Dear friends, God is good. So I beg you, offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That the most sensible way to serve God. Do not be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. And then you will know how everything is good and pleasing to him. I realize how kind of God has been good to me. I don't tell you what I think, and you are better than you really are. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time reading this. Use good sense and measure upon yourself the faith that was given to you. A body is made up of many parts, and each of them has its own use. That is how it is with us. There are many of us, and we are all part of the body of Christ, as well as part of one another. God has also given us different gifts to use. If we can prophesy, we should do it according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve Him. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage them. If we can give, we should be generous. If we are leaders, we should do our best. If we are good, good to others, we should do it cheerfully. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil, and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brother and sister, and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble, and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers in your home. Ask God to bless everyone who mistreats you. Ask Him to bless and not curse them. When others are happy, be happy with them. When they are sad, be sad. Be friendly to everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you are smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you, but try to earn the respect of others. And do your best to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take revenge. In the Scriptures, the Lord says, I am the one that will take revenge and pay them back. The Scriptures also say, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. This will be the same as piling burning coals on their heads. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. It's good scripture. Some of us have preconceived notions on what others may or may not be so good. I've been accused of lacking certain gifts or talents. But let's see what the Bible has to say about things. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning what you have wrote about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know the truth about them, my friends. You know that while you were still heathen, you were led astray in many ways in the worship of lifeless idols. I want you to know that no one who is led by God's Spirit can say, a curse on Jesus, and no one confess, Jesus is Lord, without being guided by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives the ability for all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good for all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while another person the Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while another person He gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, another the gift of speaking God's message, to yet another the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one He gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, to another He gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit that does as He wishes. He gives a different gift to each person. Christ is like a single body that has many parts. It is still one body, even though made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, were baptized into one body by the same Spirit, and we have been given the same Spirit to drink. I don't have any musical ability. One engineer once told me, we decompose, we don't compose. So Athena, though, has a very good talent, and I am truly blessed when she ministers to us. And today was a very good service. But for some, are these gifts of God, or are the gifts God? Now, how about religion? Paul was a very religious person. yet he needed some serious correction. And reading from Galatians 1, from Paul, whose call to be an apostle did not come from human beings or by human means, but from the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. All the believers who are here, join me in sending greetings to the churches of Galatia. May God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ give you peace and grace in order to set us free from his present and evil age. Christ gave himself for our sins in abundance to the will of God our Father. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am surprised at you. In no time you were deserting the one called by the grace of God and accepting another gospel. There is actually no other gospel. But I say to you, there are some people upsetting you trying to change the gospel of Christ. But even if an angel from heaven should preach you a gospel that is different from the one that is preached to you, may he be condemned to hell. We have said it before and say it again. If anyone preaches you a gospel different from the one you accepted, may he be condemned to hell. Does that sound if I'm trying to win human approval? No, indeed. What I want is God's approval. Am I trying to be popular with people? If I were still trying to do so, I would not be a servant of Christ. Let me tell you, my friends, that the gospel I preach is not human origin. I did not receive it from a human being, nor did anyone teach it to me. It was Jesus Christ who revealed it. You've been told how I used to live when I was devoted to Jewish religion, how I persecuted without mercy the Church of God and did my best to destroy it. I was ahead of most other Jews at my age in practicing the Jewish religion, and I was much more devoted to the traditions of the ancestors. But God, in his grace, chose me, even before I was born, to be called a servant to serve him. And when he decided to reveal his son to me, that I might preach the good news to him and to the Gentiles, I did not go to anyone for advice, nor did I go to Jerusalem to see what other apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and returned to Damascus. It was 3 years later that I went to Jerusalem to obtain information from Peter and stayed with him for 2 weeks. I did not see other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. What I write is true. God knows I'm not lying. Afterward, I went to a place in Syria and Cilicia. At a time, the members of the churches in Judea did not come to know me personally. They knew only what others were saying. The man who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. And so they praise God because of me. Are we playing church? Are we living the life that God wants us to live? Have we added traditions, shortcuts to our walk? Are we politically correct, adding and taking things away? Do we blow in the wind on important issues? Mark 7, verse 6 through 9. Jesus said, "You are nothing but show-offs. The prophet Isaiah was right when God said to him, 'All of you praise me with your words, but you never really think about me. It is useless for you to worship me when you teach the rules of humans. You disobey God's commands in order to obey what humans have taught. You are good at rejecting God's commands so that you can follow your own teaching.'" Are we resolved to linger in this world or to do what God wants? Mark 9:38. John said, "Teacher, I saw a man using your name to force demons out of people, but he wasn't one of us. So I told him to stop." Hey, that sounds pretty good. He's not one of us. He's different. Maybe he's not good enough. He was doing it wrong. He didn't say the right words. You see what he was wearing? Yeah. He worships at that other place. Let's see what God thinks. Continuing on Mark 9:39. "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Don't stop him. No one who works miracles in my name will soon turn and say something bad about me. Anyone who isn't against us is for us. And anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, just because you belong to me, will surely be rewarded. It is a terrible for people who cause even one of my followers to sin. Those people would be better thrown in the ocean with a heavy stone around their neck.'" Ouch. That's pretty simple. Someone other than the church of the self-righteous can be saved. Imagine that, you know? I don't know. Some of us are very judgmental. That would be me. I had many years of knowing that certain things were a certain way, and only to find out that's not the way it was. That was from first and second opinions and not the Bible. Luke 6, beginning in 41. You may see a speck in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own. How can you say, my friend, let me take the speck out of your own eye, when you don't see the log in your own? You show-offs. First get the log out of your own eye, and then you can see to take the speck out of your friend's eye. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. You can tell what the tree is by the fruit it produces. You cannot pick figs and grapes from thorn bushes. Good people do good things because of the good in their heart. Bad people do bad things because of the evil in their heart. Your words show what's in your heart. Why do you keep on saying that I am your Lord when you refuse to do what I say? Anyone who comes and listens to me and obeys me is like one who's dug a deep house on a solid rock. When the flood came and the river rushes against it, it was built so well it didn't shake. But anyone who hears what I say and doesn't obey me is like someone whose house wasn't built on a solid rock. As soon as the river rushes against it, it's smashed to pieces. The end times are coming, but I'd rather be prepared now. I've seen countless prophecies come and go, and there's always a certain date associated. 1980 is going to be it. 1990 is going to be it. 1995 is going to be it. 2000 is going to be it. 2010 is going to be it. There's even a couple of dates in 2011. We'll see. 2012, that's the end of the time the Mayan calendar stops. We're doomed. And then 2020 seems to be another popular one that's being picked out there. I don't know, and I don't think it really matters, as long as we're following what Christ says. I know some of these couldn't have been accurate because it's way past doomsday. But for some of these people, it keeps their business going. They're still selling books and doing the speaking circuit. I'd rather focus on, am I ready, and can I get somebody else ready? After this life, you have two choices like they used to have in restaurants, smoking or non-smoking. Some won't attend here because of a number of reasons. If you don't find what you're looking for here, we pray that you find what you're looking for elsewhere. Some download the sermons from the iTunes store because they can't physically meet here. May we bless them. Some disagree with others that attend here. May there be healing and forgiveness in the relationships. I think that it's a bad thing when good people are fighting with each other over silly things. Go ye into all the world is our directive. This includes using technology to spread the word. I was told by several people that technology is evil and the churches should have no part of it. TV is evil and we shouldn't use it either. The internet isn't evil, but it can be used for evil. TV can be used for evil. Anything can be. But they can also be used for good. Some of us use the telephone to spread the gospel. Others use it to tell all. There's a lot of anti-teachings going on lately. The do's and the don'ts. Protesting. Hate speech. Some people just like to stir up trouble just for the sake of stirring up trouble. You can now protest at military funerals and call it religious free speech. You can focus on the radio and you can turn on the right wing or the left wing and you can get all kinds of hate speech out there. You can listen to the radio, TV, podcasts. Or we can stop and listen to what God has to say. Are we pleasing ourselves or pleasing the Lord? Are we experiencing Him? Some of us may be accused of being sinners, hypocrites, or phony. Sorry, but this isn't a hotel for the saints. This is a hospital for sinners. An old hospital in this case, but a hospital for sinners. Even David had issues. Think about what it did to get Bathsheba. Yet he had a heart after God. None of us are perfect. When people say you're a sinner, I can say, yes. But I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm working on my sins. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done, for giving us your word to tell us how to live our lives. We pray that we can use your word for your glory and not the building up of our own empire, our own hates, our own desires, that we seek you instead of seeking pleasure. We build up rather than destroy. We thank you for everyone that's seeking after you and those that have given up on religion but haven't given up on you. May they find you and experience what we experience here. Lord, we thank you so much for all the blessings. We thank you most of all for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and giving us the Holy Spirit that we may worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.